This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linford.
And this is your Nishna Valley. Remember a few weeks ago we were talking about it's the first weekend of April.
Seems like a long time ago, doesn't it?
And now it's the last weekend of April. Where did it go? Where did it go? Well, we hope we get a few more nice days. May should bring progressively nicer weather for us. As the weeks go on, you expect the weather to get nicer and nicer and nicer. And hopefully we won't have any more of that cold rain.
Yeah.
Rain's okay.
Or the cold wind.
Yeah, but I just don't like that cold, rainy days. Like we had a couple of those earlier this week. Yeah, it wasn't much fun.
No.
We like them nice and warm and sunny.
Yeah.
At least on the weekends.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be nice. Unfortunately, it looks like this next week is going to be mostly cooler and rainier.
Yeah.
So enjoy it while
you
can.
Exactly.
And we'll get better days coming. We'll string a few nice ones in a row here sooner or later. But, you know, you kind of expect that. It's that time of the year now where we get swings in the weather each day. And, you know, those rain showers are supposed to bring some flowers, right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, sometimes they bring some storms and stuff, too. How good are you at your storm knowledge?
I don't know. It depends.
Uh-oh.
Well, nervous now.
I saw a little note here from the American Red Cross. They put together a little storm preparedness quiz, which I'm going to administer to you.
Oh, great.
Oh, goody.
Thanks.
Well, it's not that tough, but it's important stuff. You know, they kind of had a little fun with it. They said, you know, in The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy learned the lesson the hard way that when a powerful tornado whisked her off to the faraway land of Oz. But she may never have had to make a trip down the yellow brick road if she had properly prepared for spring storm season.
Okay.
Of course, it also would have made for a horrible movie.
Yeah.
But do you know more than Dorothy did about preparing for tornadoes and spring storms?
We'll see.
Well, we'll find out. We'll see. Okay, so here's just five little questions on the quiz. Okay, here it goes. Number one, the American Red Cross asks, Dorothy should have prepared to be self-sufficient for how long following an emergency or a disaster like a tornado? A, at least 3 days. B, 8 hours or less. C, about 1 week. Or D, around 24 hours. How long after a disaster should you be prepared?
I'm going to say A.
A is correct. Woo. Ding, 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 ding. I don't have any sound effects.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Ding, ding, ding.
Come on,
that's as good
smoke.
As it gets. Yeah. At least 3 days. They say that you should prepare enough food, water, and clothing, and any other essential items that you might need to last for at least 3 days in the event of a storm. They hope that by, you know, if there's a devastating storm that would, for example, destroy most of your surroundings, you know, just a devastating storm, that you should probably have enough stuff around, food, water, a little clothing, you know, whatever else you'd need to get you through about 3 days. By then, you should be able to get things taken care of, or at least get moving in a forward direction again in an absolute disaster. Okay, here's question number two. You're one for one. Excellent. Yeah. Number two, Dorothy would not have had to worry about a tornado be approaching if she had noticed this. If she had noticed this, she wouldn't have had to worry that a tornado was coming, okay? Would it be A, dark, often greenish clouds, B, large hail, C, thunder and lightning, or D, a wall cloud? What would she not have had to worry about?
D.
A wall cloud.
Oh, not have worried, sorry.
Okay. Stop the buzzer.
I'm going to say the thunder and lightning.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay, I'll give you... Should I give her
half a point
on that? I don't know. We'll give it to you. It's good enough. You didn't understand the question.
Yeah, I was listening wrong.
It was almost kind of like Jeopardy, where they, you know, they give you the answer, and you're supposed to answer in the form of a question.
Yeah,
she would not have had to worry if she saw this. And it's thunder and lightning, because that happens a lot. Thunder and lightning happens with a lot of storms. But dark greenish clouds, large hail, and a wall cloud. You see any of those? Trouble's a-coming, okay? Hit the storm cellar. All right, two for two now. I'll give you that one. Number three, it says, as the tornado approached, Dorothy was hit on the head and then laid down in her bedroom. So where's the safest place to be in a house during a tornado? A, the garage. B, the basement. C, outside, under your car. Or D, in a closet.
Closet.
That's your final answer?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I wanted to go with a bathtub, but...
Are you sure? Are you sure? I'm giving you a second chance here. Are you sure?
Okay, what were the options again?
The garage, the basement, outside
basement.
Of... Hey, ding, 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 wow. There you go. All right, you're three for three.
I must have been listening for the bathtub.
Well, you know, if you don't have anything else. Now, they say that the basement is the safest place to be when a tornado hits. If you don't have access to a basement or a storm cellar, then an interior room on the lowest floor with no windows would be the safest alternative. And I've seen that many times where people will do that, especially if you have like one of those old clawfoot, cast iron bathtubs. Right. And sometimes they'll pull the mattress off the bed and put it over them or something like that, you know, just for protection and things.
Yeah, something overhead.
Who knows? I mean, you know, in an emergency, if you don't have what you should have, a basement or storm cellar, you find something the best you can do. Sometimes you have to make do because it happens so fast.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm giving you 3 for 3 now.
Okay.
Right? Now, here's 4. After a tornado has passed, if you are away from home, when should you return back to your home? Got it?
Okay.
Is it A, whenever your ruby slippers take you there? B, when you can no longer see a tornado in the sky? C, when authorities say it is safe to do so? Or D, when you run out of food?
What I want to say is D, but C.
C, when authorities say it is safe to do so? Ding, 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 ding. Got it right. If you're away from home during a tornado, only go back home when authorities say it is safe to do so. Yeah. You didn't fall for the ruby slipper thing?
No, that'd be nice though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, wouldn't it? Okay, so I'm giving you 4 for 4 now. I'm being generous. All right, here we go. Last one, 5. See if she can run the table. Which of the following actions would not have helped Dorothy prepare for the spring storm season?
Okay.
So basically, which of these was not a good idea?
Yeah.
Okay. A, obtaining a battery-powered or hand-crank radio. B, making and practicing a plan for your household. C, putting together an emergency preparedness kit. Or D, wearing ruby slippers.
D.
You sure?
I'm positive.
You sure you don't want another chance?
No.
I'll give you one more time.
D.
Okay, you're right. Ding, 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 ding. There you go.
What do I win?
Yeah, it says here, wearing ruby slippers, although they may be pretty, will not prepare you for a storm, oddly enough.
Slow you down.
But obtaining a battery-powered or hand-crank radio, making and practicing a plan for your household, and putting together an emergency preparedness kit are all important steps to being prepared before a storm hits, which I hope you all knew by now.
Yes.
Point of all this is, it's kind of the start of the storm season.
Yeah.
We've already seen some storms. You don't have to go too far south of here to actually see some folks that had some pretty damaging hail. I know some places like Montgomery County and some of those areas down there had, you know, golf ball-sized hail already and had some damages, and they're already looking around for roof repairs and things like that. So you just don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So be prepared for all of that. All right, so that's done. You know, we kind of had some fun this week. We talked a little bit about, on one of our programs earlier this week, about the World's Fair in 1964.
Okay.
50 years ago. You know, the World's Fair, when we used to hold them, I think they call them something else now, but World's Fair used to be a big deal. Millions of people. In fact, in 1964, 50 years ago, there were, 51 million visitors to the World's Fair in New York. But people were always treated to a range of different types of technological innovations and predictions and things like that for down the road. The Associated Press ran a story on that, kind of looking back 50 years ago to see what came true.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting. Some things were pretty close, some things not so much. But like, for example, they were predicting and they had a small system there to show you video phone calls. Gee, I wonder if that'll ever happen.
Yeah.
Well,
it's already there.
Yeah, Skype. FaceTime, stuff like that. Yeah, we're doing that now pretty much on a regular basis. They said a history professor by the name of Lori Walters at the University of Central Florida said at the time, picture phones, no way.
Yeah.
Not a good idea. Didn't take off because she said that largely it was high setup costs and they just weren't accessible to a lot of people. But also, back in the 1964 World's Fair, most of the folks that attended, the men were all dressed in coats and ties. The women were in dresses. It was a much more formal society. There was no way people wanted to be seen on a phone call by someone else in their pajamas.
Right.
Or maybe their hair wasn't done or something like that. And like we say, look around at some of the stores you go to now and see how people are dressed.
Yeah.
Some folks just don't care what they look like.
No.
It's a much more informal society we live in now, whether that's better or worse. But so it's, yeah, it wasn't going to go very far. But they also said that they also suggested things like, you know, you might be able to ask computers for information somewhere down the road.
Really?
Guess what?
Oh, yeah.
Guess what? That was really the first time folks really saw a lot about computers, because nobody knew much of anything about them. They were things that were the size of a room, let alone fit one in a room. So nobody paid much attention. They were thought to be huge cabinets of blinking lights and electrodes operated by big corporations. Well, IBM set up a pavilion where visitors saw a computer system in which a machine took in a card with a date written on it, and it would spit out another card with a news story from that date. Sounds like something out of the Batcave, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And also at the NCR Pavilion, a computer would answer specific scientific questions or maybe give out recipes from a cookbook. Can you imagine asking a computer for information? Hello, Google.
Yeah.
Hello, Siri.
Uh-huh.
You know, we do that stuff now.
And don't even think about it.
That was such an innovation back then, the possibilities of doing something like that. People couldn't imagine it. Here we are.
It's still weird to even think that.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Some more technology that was tossed out at that time. Walt Disney came up with this idea that he called animatronics.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like robotic animation.
Yeah.
And he debuted it with, oh boy, the It's a Small World display,
mm-hmm.
which has that annoying, hard-to-forget song that just gets in your head. Oh, yeah. Gets in your head and you can't get it out of there. And I just put it there and I'm sorry for that. But the animatronic exhibit and three others, including one featuring a robotic President Abraham Lincoln. It showed characters moving in lifelike ways, smiling, blinking, all those kinds of things. That was amazing for folks to see that type of robotics. And now, that's pretty much what Disney World is.
Yeah.
It's a whole bunch of rides with all that kind of stuff. What would it be without that stuff? So it's amazing how things go. You know, there were some other things that really didn't take off quite so much. There was a another thing that they put out there called Futurama 2, a ride put together by General Motors that it didn't take off. They thought there would be colonies on the moon, underwater dwellings, things like that. A laser, a machine that used a laser to cut through rainforests and then left behind would be paved roads. Well, you can't, you take a genie to do that.
Yeah.
And also, one of the coolest things they introduced back then, and they thought they would take off, no pun intended, jetpacks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were demonstrated by men who wore them, and they zoomed around the grounds, and they thought it would be a primary mode of transportation by now. But no, not so much. I wish. It would be so cool.
That would be fun.
But how exciting 50 years ago to be thinking about all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard to make predictions now for 50 years down the road because technology changes so incredibly rapidly. That just tomorrow, you can't imagine what's going to happen
years,
a week from now.
Yeah, it'd be like 2 years or something, yeah.
I know. It's so hard in, you know, our industry, but in anybody's industry anymore, because we all use technology in our businesses. It's so hard because you spend a lot of money to upgrade, and by the time you get the upgrade done, there's something newer out there.
Right.
It's just crazy.
It happens with phones all the time.
Yeah, it does. It really does. They were talking 50 years down the road. Nowadays, you wonder what the next phone's going to look like when my plan runs out.
Yeah. Yep.
It's crazy. Ah, technology. You love it when it works, and it's a paperweight when it doesn't.
Yeah, you're lost without it.
That's right. Well, you know, sometimes you, and we use the internet all the time now.
Yeah, we do.
That whole interweb thing might be taken off someday. You just never know. It might catch on. KJN.com. You can find all kinds of information. In fact, you go to the Daily Diary page, you'll find a lot of stuff there, too. In fact, Stacy has a bunch of it right here in her hands.
I do. Let's see, the Iowa Bluebird Conservationists, they're inviting the public to attend their meeting at the Indian Creek Museum, and that's in Hastings. It's on Sunday, April 27th at 1 p.m. You'll get to learn to attract and protect Iowa's bluebird population. If you'd like more information on that, you can contact Pam Scholes. Her number is 778-2397. Again, it's the Iowa Bluebird Conservationists. They're meeting at the Indian Creek Museum in Hastings on April 27th at 1. Over in Marnie, it's the Marnie Masons Country Lunch. That's on April 27th at the Marnie Fire Station. That will be held from 4 to 7, and they'll be serving a variety of soups, sandwiches, pies, and drink. Just $7 for adults, only $3.50 for children under 10. It's the Marnie Masons Country Lunch on April 27th at the Marnie Fire Station from 4 to 7. A piano recital will be held at the Museum of Danish American Elkhorn on April 27th, and that's at 2 p.m., featuring winners of the Victor Borge Legacy Award Competition, and they'll have a reception afterwards. Again, it's a piano recital at the Museum of Danish America on April 27th at 2. A meet the candidate event for Republican Tom Shipley, who is running for a District 11 state Senate seat. It's on Monday, April 28th, and the public is invited to the Heritage House in Atlantic from 7 to 8:30 p.m. for the informal event. Over in Greenfield, they're having a Red Cross blood drive on Wednesday, April 30th. It is from 11 to 5, and that will be held at the Nottoway Valley High School. Peace Haven's annual May Day breakfast is coming up. That's on May 1st, and they will hold that from 8:30 to 10 a.m., and that's in the Peace Haven Retirement Home Dining Room. And this is presented by the Peace Haven Women's Auxiliary. Again, that's the Peace Haven's annual May Day breakfast on May 1st from 8:30 to 10, and that's in their dining room there. Atlantic Business and Professional Women's Spring Citywide Garage Sales. I know a lot of people look forward to that. That's on May 2nd from 2 to 6, and then again on May 3rd from 10 to 4, and maps are available at Hy-Vee, Casey's, Fairway, Great Western Bank, Cass County Memorial Hospital, and Atlantic Chamber of Commerce. Again, it's the Atlantic Business and Professional Women Spring Citywide Garage Sales on May 2nd from 2 to 6 and May 3rd from 10 to 4. Church of the Nazarene in Atlantic, they're conducting revival services. It's on from May 2nd through the 4th, and then on May 2nd and 3rd, the services are at 7 p.m., and then on Sunday, May 4th, it is at 10:30 a.m., and everyone is welcome to attend. The Audubon Exira Brayton Highway 71 Community Garage Sale, that's coming up also on May 3rd from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Retail sidewalk bargains, weather permitting. You can just check individual business hours. They have free maps available on May 1st, and those will be at the Exira, Audubon, and Brayton local businesses. You can also look for the orange flag, and this is sponsored by the Audubon Chamber of Commerce, Exira Community Club, and Brayton Community Club, and you can watch for early bird sales Friday evening. That's the Audubon Exira Brayton Highway 71 Community Garage Sale, May 3rd from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then those early bird sales on Friday evening. Elliott Citywide Garage Sales will be held on May 3rd from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and also have a flea market from the Friends of the Library at the Community Building during that time. The Elliott Citywide Garage Sales are sponsored by the Elliott Community Club. And that's over in Elliott, their Citywide Garage Sales on May 3rd from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and then also that flea market at the Community Building. Also, Griswold is having their Citywide Garage Sales on May 3rd. And also in Griswold is the United Methodist Women's May Breakfast. That's on May 3rd at 9:30 a.m. Angels Within Us will be presented by Lila Hogaveen, Shona Putnam, and Marsha Anderson. And that church is located at 100 Cass Street in Griswold. So it's the May Day Breakfast on May 3rd at 9:30 a.m. at United Methodist Church in Griswold. The Hitchcock House Spring Pioneer Skills Festival, that's also coming up May 3rd from 1 to 4, and you can tour the Hitchcock House. It's only $5 per person for high school ages and over, and also you can visit the barn where you'll see lots of fun little stuff. There's candle dripping, a cider press, apple cider press, rope making, wood carving, tin punching, butter churning, and much more. Bring the whole family, and its event will be held rain or shine. Again, that's the Hitchcock House Spring Pioneer Skills Festival, May 3rd from 1 to 4. Also, let's see here, coming up on Sunday, May 4th, a retirement party will be held for Sharon Mathias on May 4th in the Zion Lutheran Church basement at 10:30 a.m. The Adair County Historical Museum Chicken and Biscuit Dinner is May 4th from 11 to 1. They'll also be serving along with the chicken and biscuits, vegetable, slaw, cranberry sauce, bars, pie, and drink, $8 for adults, and $5 for children 5 through 12, and then kids 5 and under are free. And all the proceeds from that will be going to their building fund. It's the Audubon County Historical Museum Chicken and Biscuit Dinner on May 4th from 11 to 1. Let's see, here in Atlantic, the Atlantic Public Library is presenting All Cass County Reads with author Dwayne Ocker. It's on May 7th at 6:30 in the Atlantic Public Library meeting room. And the presentation will highlight his new book, From Troublesome Creek, A Farm Boy's Encounters on the Way to a University Presidency. And they'll have some light refreshments afterward there for you. It's the Atlantic Public Library's Cass County Reads with Dwayne Ocker on May 7th at 6:30, and that's at the Atlantic Public Library meeting room.
Lots of stuff.
Yes.
A whole lot of stuff there. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more for you right after this.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cache County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
All right. A few more things going on here in the area to let you in on before we move on to some other stuff here. Coming up this weekend, the Minden Volunteer Fire Department will be having their Staley's Chicken Dinner this Sunday, April 27th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. at the Minden Community Hall. $8 for adults, $6 for children 12 and under, and under 3 are free. And that's a nice fundraiser for the Minden Volunteer Fire Department this Sunday. Also coming up not too far down the road, we have a few other activities going on. The Cumberland community will have its cleanup on Saturday, May 3rd. That's from 6 to 9 a.m. So all you do is gather up all your junk. Junk is what junk is, yeah. Right? How do I know what's junk? Well, if you're not using it, and you're not going to, and you haven't sold it yet, it's probably junk, right? Gather it up, take it to the east side of the city park in Cumberland, and you can also call if you need pickup, too, but take it to the east side. They'll haul it away. It's all gone. Clean up the community. A lot of that junk sometimes gets sitting outside. Not so much fun. The Anita Home and Garden Club will be meeting April 28th. That's this Monday at the American Legion Hall in Anita at 1:30. And the roll call, they say, will be, what is your favorite type of music to listen to? I'm not even sure how I'd answer anymore.
Yeah.
I like so much stuff. But anyway, the program's always fun, and they always have a good time. So the Home and Garden Club in Anita this Monday, April 28th, 1:30 at the American Legion Hall. They'll be meeting. Also, the Oak Tree Opry is having its first show of the season coming up on May the 2nd. That'll be a Friday night at 7 p.m. They have all kinds of good entertainment planned. You can always get your tickets by calling over there to the Opry and get yourself on their list. Also, let's see, coming up here not too terribly far down the road, in the month of May, the Anita Cam Alumni Banquet will be held on Saturday, May 24th at the Cam High School. And the doors will open at 4 with the baked pork chop meal served at 6. There'll be entertainment that evening, a pie and dessert auction to raise money for scholarships, and they'll honor a number of the classes as well, as they usually do. Reservations have to be made before May 15th for $15 or $18 each after May 15th. You can contact Jackie Sander in Anita to get yourself registered. If you don't register up front, you can always walk in at the door there, too, and pay that little higher price. Also coming up on May 31st at the Walnut City Park will be the second annual Walnut 5K Fun Run and Walk. They call it the Lunch Lady Run. It'll be registration at 10 a.m., the run at 11 a.m., and the registration can be forms can be found at Mid-States Bank in Avoca, Rolling Hills Bank in Avoca, and also at the Walnut, the City Hall in Walnut. So get your... jot that down on your calendar. Get yourself ready to go. Also, if you like moving, the second annual Old Stone Arch Trail 5K Walk and Run is scheduled for June 14th. That'll get underway at 8:30 that morning. A race through our place is what they title that. Pre-registration is $20 for a single or $50 for a family. Go online to shelbyia.com to get more information. And that's coming up June 14th. It's a little ways down the road, but you need to get yourself prepared for that, right? There's not enough time between then and now for me to get prepared to run a 5K.
No.
That's not happening. Summer camps. The Cass County Conservation Board and the Cass County Iowa State University Extension is pairing up this year to offer summer camps for youth around the county. A registration fee is like this. It's $10 for 3rd through 5th graders and $10 for K through 2nd graders, and it includes a T-shirt. And they've also added a new adventure camp for 6th through 8th graders this year, with a forestry theme for this year. Any questions, you can contact Laura at the conservation office or Beth at the extension office. And then they'll have more registration information out there during a lot of the registration nights in the different schools districts around the county. The CAM, the Griswold, and the Atlantic school districts, they usually get a lot of their reservations put together then, registrations at that time. For Atlantic schools, the deadline is June 6th. For the CAM schools and the Griswold schools, the deadline is May 23rd. And we'll tell you more about that as we get a little closer, too. But get that on your radar, too, because the kids will have a fun time with some of that stuff.
Yeah, get them out of the house.
Well, that's another good thing. You'll have a fun time, too, right? Excellent. Spoken like a mom.
Yeah.
What do you got for birthdays over there?
All right. Well, there's a car char plan for Dean Luxford celebrating his 94th birthday on April 30th. His family's requesting a card shower in his honor, and you can send them to him at Elmcrest Retirement Community, 2104 12th Street in Harlan, 51537. And he has four granddaughters and four great-granddaughters with another great-grandchild due in June. So happy birthday to Dean Luxford, who will be celebrating his 94th birthday on April 30th. And his family is asking to send him a card for his birthday. Wish him a happy birthday. And you can reach them at Elmcrest Retirement Community, 2104 12th Street in Harlan, 51537. Over at the Salem Lutheran Home, happy birthday to Merlin Mulgar, celebrating his birthday on April 29th. And also to Bernice Muir, celebrating her birthday on April 30th. And also coming up, happy birthday to Ron Jones, celebrating his birthday on May 2nd. Also James Kilpatrick, celebrating his birthday on May 2nd. And also happy birthday to Catherine Jean Stoneking, celebrating her birthday on May 3rd.
Very good. I have a couple
one more.
Of...
Sorry,
oh, I'm sorry.
Forgot one. And happy birthday to John Yarger of Messina. He's celebrating his 93rd birthday on May 14th, and his family is requesting a card in his honor. And you can send him a card at 504 East Cedar Street in Messina, 50853. So happy birthday to John Yarger of Messina, celebrating his 93rd birthday on May 14th. And you can send him a card to 504 East Cedar Street in Messina, 50853.
Okay,
yes.
Now you're finished.
I'm done, yes.
All right. I do have a couple of anniversaries to share. Hollis and Mary Bledsoe of Avoca will be celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary this Sunday, April 27th. They're going to have an open house from noon to 4 at the Corley Community Hall. Friends and relatives, of course, are invited to attend, and we want to send out our best wishes as well. Hollis and Mary Bledsoe of Avoca, 50th wedding anniversary wishes. They're celebrating this Sunday, April 27th. They've actually already had their anniversary. It was in March, but they'll be celebrating with friends and family here this weekend, so congratulations. Also coming up, Dan and Jean Beaker of Harlan will be celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary with an open house Saturday, May the 3rd, and that'll be from 7 to 11 p.m. at the Corley Community Hall. It's a jumping place. Friends and relatives, of course, are invited to attend. Their anniversary date is actually May 30th, but they're getting together on Saturday, May 3rd, 7 to 11 p.m. at the Corley Community Hall to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. Congratulations to Dan and Jean Beaker of Harlan on that milestone as well. If you have any birthdays or anniversaries or babies born that you'd like us to crow about, simply get them to us here. We'll share them with folks out there. We don't have any babies this week to tell you about. I did have one other thing I wanted to throw in here, too. October is pork month.
Yes.
Why am I talking about October now, you wonder?
Kind of.
Well, because the Iowa Pork Producers Association is calling all nominations.
Oh.
Their 12th annual Best Breaded Pork Tenderloin Contest,
ooh,
one of our all-time favorite foods here in Iowa, the pork tenderloin. We so love that. But starting May 1st, they are going to take nominations. Any cafe, restaurant, or tavern that serves hand-breaded or battered pork tenderloins is eligible to be nominated. Restaurants must receive 3 nominations to enter the first round of the judging. Restaurant owners and operators are prohibited from nominating their own establishment, so they have to have other people do it. So if you like one, nominate them.
Yeah.
You can only do one nomination per household. And the forms are available at iowapork.org. They're also in the May issue of the Iowa Pork Producer magazine. The deadline for nominations is June 9th. Because typically what happens is they get all those nominations together, and the ones that qualify with enough nominations, then they take off on a trek around the state.
Rough job.
Yeah, I want to be on that committee, please. I'll pay you to be on that committee. But one person who nominates the winning restaurant will get $100 from the pork producers.
Oh,
and the
cool.
winning restaurant gets $500, a plaque, and a banner to display in their establishment. And statewide publicity and a lot of bragging rights for the year. So they're going to do a lot of that good work, and they'll announce the winners in October Pork Month. And there have been a number of winners from around this area, too. Last year's winner was the River Rock Cafe in Mount Pleasant. But Daryl's Place in Hamlin is a past winner. Larson's Pub and Catering in Elkhorn also is a past winner. A lot of good pork tenderloins.
Yeah.
Ooh, we love those. That's all the time we have, because I got to go. I got to go eat.
I was going to say, now you made me hungry.
I got to eat. Yeah, it's time to eat. This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linford.
And this has been your Nishnew Valley.